Welcome to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman, and I come to you weekly to discuss self-care and the art of healing. I first interviewed Dr. Barbara Brewitt in 1998 when interest was peaking about the use of human growth hormone to slow aging. She discussed her development of and success with a homeopathic growth hormone product. In 2003, she returned to do an interview about new products which were having really good results treating diabetes. Well, I called Dr. Brewitt this year because of my observation that her homeopathic human growth hormone had a really substantial effect, a really good effect on a long-term brittle diabetic who got no relief from any other natural remedy. Today she joins me to discuss positive outcomes in studies using her products for the treatment of HIV, and this includes children in an impoverished township in South Africa. Dr. Barbara Brewitt is a PhD. She's the founder and CEO, Chief Scientific Officer at Biomedcom Incorporated. She's the recognized leader in clinical research on homeopathic growth factors as a treatment strategy for living with HIV. Her work has been presented at 8 international peer-reviewed AIDS conferences around the world, and her presentations have been translated into 5 languages and published in a medical textbook by Churchill Livingstone. Recently, in 2004, she was named Special Supervisor at the University of Johannesburg, South Africa, for clinical research on homeopathic growth factors in treating HIV. Dr. Brewitt earned her PhD from the University of Washington School of Medicine in biological structure. Her doctoral research focused on growth factor effects on vision and tissue growth and resulted in a first author major publication in Science magazine. She conducted postdoctoral research on growth factor effects on gene regulation at the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, while simultaneously studying the principles of homeopathy at the National Center for Homeopathy. And we're very honored to have you back with us, Dr. Brewitt.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. One of the things that occurs to me is that the principles of homeopathy as an art is very, very subtle. It works on an energetic level, and it uses dilutions of strong substances at such a dilute amount that they're actually almost untraceable by traditional labs. So it's a little bit counterintuitive to think of using such subtle medicine for the use of anti-aging chronic illnesses, since those particular arenas use, if anything, rather bludgeoning amounts of substances like hormones and steroids and things like that to treat people. So here comes this extremely subtle energetic science. Can you explain how you came to the idea that this would work? What made you suddenly feel, wow, you know what? I bet we could do this with these very, very powerful dilutions that are very subtle.
Well, back in the 1990s and earlier, when I was getting my PhD, my specialty was growth factor signaling. And I found that they were extremely toxic to the body if they were given to the body in very high, high pharmacological concentrations, such as pharmaceuticals might provide. Thus, the homeopathy says that if a substance is very toxic in certain situations, in homeopathic situations, you'll get the opposite result. And thus, by the basic law of homeopathy, I saw these growth factors might be able to treat diseases such as HIV or something like aging, which people can argue whether that's a disease or not, but it certainly has some similarities to the process of an HIV infection where your body just falls apart.
Well, many, many chronic illnesses are diseases of accelerated aging.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so if I understand what you're saying is that you feel that the use of pharmacologic use of human growth hormone, when you're using replacement doses injected of human growth hormone, your opinion is that that can be toxic to the body.
That's actually well published mm-hmm. in the medical literature, which is why I knew that a homeopathic version of growth hormone would be great for people that had similar kinds of symptoms that the toxic dose produced.
Well, the reason I made you back up to that is because human growth hormone has gained great favor in the anti-aging movement, and its price has come down, and it's really being promoted as a way to protect people from accelerated aging and just to protect them from aging in general. So many people are injecting human growth hormone now. So I wanted to make sure that that we got you on record as saying that you didn't feel that this was the right way to go. The other reason I wanted you to explain that is because after we did one of our other shows, people contacted me and said, oh, this is not following the rules of homeopathy, because she has people taking these high dilutions, which are usually single-dose dilutions in classical homeopathy, and she has them taking, people are taking this three times a day, and that would prove a remedy, and blah, blah, blah. And people were all very confused. And I think that it might be useful to back up a little bit and to explain that there are many different categories of remedies, and they're used differently.
That's a good question, Lena, and I appreciate it. I have several points to make on that. Growth hormone is a substance or protein that's made in the body to bring the body in balance. And homeopathy also is designed to bring the body in balance. Many homeopaths who have said, well, let's see, if it's doing the same thing, then that's not homeopathy. Samuel Hahnemann and Dana Ullman have both taught me in this century that the law of similars of homeopathy, which says, well, if something can do something in a toxic dose, why would you give it, back to a person in a homeopathic dose? There's two parts to the law of similars, and most people only know the first part. The first part, if there's a toxic dose, then a person with the symptoms of the toxicity takes it to relieve those symptoms. It was actually proven in 1988 that homeopathic concentrations of a substance can mimic the exact positive hormone homeopathically. We have now clinically proved three times and published that, number one, it does relieve a person of the kinds of symptoms that they might have from a toxic dose. Secondly, it does provide benefits of growth hormone at the multiple potencies that we're providing in a single product.
Why don't we, well, first of all, just before we move on to what exactly growth hormone is in the body, although, because people, I think they know, and I don't think they know. But the other thing is that there are, as I said, many different categories of homeopathic style remedies, and people may have heard of nosodes, which are people sometimes try to use instead of vaccines, and sometimes often it's successful. But there's also a category of remedies where you use healthy organ material or tissues or metabolic factors, and these are called sarcodes.
Yes.
Is that pronounced correctly?
That's correct.
And that's important to understand, that there are these different categories. Yeah.
Well, you're saying some things that are pretty specific, so I don't know who your listening audience is, but growth hormone is a protein made in the body that the body is looking for. It actually has receptors, or like antenna, on the outside of the cell, trying to understand its next instruction. Where most homeopathic remedies do not have a receptor, it's not made by the body. So a sarcode is something, like you said, it's a healthy tissue, or it's made by the body, and the body understands the language.
Mm-hmm.
The most interesting and exciting thing about growth hormone is that it is a signaling protein. It's a small signaling protein, very similar to growth factors, and it actually falls into that larger category. It's not really a hormone in the classical sense at all. And cells are waiting for instructions on how they should behave. So with aging or with illness, when there is an imbalance in the signal, then the body is without instruction and it goes awry. So I'm trying to bring it back, or these products bring it back to a better state of balance and coordination.
So this is why you call your products cell enhancements or cell signal enhancements.
That's exactly right. It's really a new concept, unlike normal supplements, vitamins, minerals. It's really quite different from that.
Now, human growth hormone and the metabolite insulin-like growth factor are, as we say, growth factors. So one of the concern has been that, particularly with people who are injecting physiologic doses of these substances, that you increase the number of growth factors, you increase tumor promotion or cancer promotion.
Again, these cell signal molecules are so new that they're poorly understood by the majority of the public, and marketers are taking advantage of the confusion. However, actually, I had just presented some papers at the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians just 2 weeks ago on IGF-1, called insulin-like growth factor. It is extremely important to the body. And again, Samuel Hahnemann and homeopaths know that the more powerful a substance is on the body, the more likely you want to only see that in a homeopathic very low dose, and injecting it just does not make sense.
Well, in fact, you have seen comparisons between how patients, for instance, with HIV infection, how different the response is when they're injected with human growth hormone and when they use these cell enhancements, these cell signaling enhancements. And one of the things you discuss is things like they put on fat around the trunk, which predisposes them to a kind of sugar metabolism problem, possibly a diabetic problem. It's also not giving them lean body mass, in contrast to what you saw in the research projects that you did using the homeopathic doses.
That's actually very correct, that people, even especially in the Bay Area, in San Francisco, had undergone in about 1992 studies on injectable HGH, or human growth hormone, and IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor. They were HIV positive, and many of them died on treatment, where the placebo group continued to live a little longer. So that was a very powerful lesson, that treatment can be worse than placebo. In our last decade of clinical studies, and what we just found out in children infected with HIV in South Africa, is when you give these exact molecules in a homeopathic version, they actually get so much stronger in their immune system, their lean body mass, their metabolism normalizes. They have fewer infections, and you get a very clear health. It's as if the growth factors are helping the cell heal itself. It's so exciting.
That's what really raised the hair on the back of my arms while I was reading these studies and stuff that we're going to get into next, is that you you were enabling or supporting the immune system doing the job against the HIV virus.
Let me reiterate that growth factors are made in the body every 3 to 10 minutes, and they're there for the body to maintain a healthy metabolism. And it's well known that some of the HIV drugs today have very adverse side effects, one of which is throwing off the metabolism. When we gave growth factors that are trying to get the body to be healthy and a homeopathic approach, which is trying to help the body get healthy, we were integrating two processes for the same reason. Make that body healthy and let the body fight the HIV. And we've shown successfully in 5 studies now that's possible.
Well, intuitively, I have to think that when an immune system is being attacked by a virus, that its own endogenous production of human growth factor and its metabolites is going to go down to almost nothing. That one of the reasons you see in the case of, like, the children in South Africa, tiny children who fail to thrive is because their growth factors are not working because their bodies are so depleted.
Again, not knowing your audience, but being very excited about this myself.
No, you can talk scientifically to this audience.
Growth factors actually use the same signaling in the cell that HIV captures. So if we want to use a war analogy, there's a war going on. HIV is attacking the body, and it's killing off a lot of the immune system. Growth factors support the immune system, so it brings in new recruits. And it is as if there's samurai warriors coming in and understand exactly what HIV is doing, and they know exactly where to go to support the recruits of the immune system to then effectively fight off HIV through the body. And that's a very different approach than the drugs that are currently on the market to fight HIV. The drugs are trying to kill the HIV, which in turn kills the body, some of the body.
Well, viruses are very smart. They can adapt.
That's right. They mutate.
Mm-hmm.
You get drug resistance. Mm-hmm. With homeopathy, we were trying to come in a stealth sort of manner to help the body become stronger, no matter what stage the disease was in. And we found that we could, and it actually was able to fight the HIV. We had fewer infections, fewer hospitalizations, and no viral resistance after 2.5 years of following up with people.
You're listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman, and I'm on the phone with biochemist Dr. Barbara Brewitt, B-R-E-W-I-T-T. We are discussing the use of homeopathic growth factors, which are products that Dr. Brewitt has developed and has tested in a variety of arenas. And right now we're talking about their use with HIV. If you want to go to her website, it is biomedcom, biomedcom.com, biomedcom.com. I want to discuss the particulars of the trials you did, but, you know, I have to ask this now. I'm reading this stuff, and I'm reading how the cell signalers work on the immune system, and I'm thinking this has to be something that might work in certain cancers.
Well,
is that next on the agenda?
It can. I don't go to the cancer world. We've done a lot of research over the last decade with HIV. When I was at the NIH, growth factors can help cancer.
I would think that anything that gets the immune system to function and relieves the damaging effects of stress on the immune system, that you'd have more of a chance of thriving against cancer, which is another one that if the immune system's working, the body will fight back in a natural way. It creates anti-neoplastins, basically. Let's talk about the trials that you've done. There are several of them. You've been doing trials since the mid-90s. Do you want to describe the different trials that you've done and talk about how long the studies were, how many people were involved, and what you saw?
Sure. In we started this probably in about 1992, actually. We have now tested a total of 191 U.S. adults, about 26 years old to 62 years old, and there were four studies in the United States. Two were double-blind placebo-controlled studies that were anywhere from 4 months to longer. And then we did two follow-up studies where we took 26 individuals and we followed them for 9 months. And then we took another 26 subjects and followed them for a total of 2.5 years. Normally, an HIV-infected person lives about 1 year and 8 months after they start taking the antiretroviral drugs. So the fact that we even had people living 2.5 years after they used our products was quite astounding. They were not using any antiretroviral drugs. At the time that South Africa, there was an independent group of a multidisciplinary group, a pediatrician, a homeopath, and a student who went out into rural South Africa, which is really a very third world area, and they had the barest of food to eat, so it was bare survival, you know, porridge, cornmeal, white bread, jam, milk, and canned beans was their basic diet. So that became a very extreme case. Children, it turns out, are very, very rapid in their progression of the disease because their nervous system is still developing and they deteriorate very fast. And as you mentioned, their growth is stunted. So in this extreme situation, I really did not know if these growth factors would work. And yet, after a 14-week study, we found that it completely, in every single stage of the disease, reversed growth. They began to grow as much as 4 times faster than South African children who are healthy, whether they were white or black. And their immune system got better at all stages of the disease, and the infections went down. So we were very thrilled to find out, in a very extreme situation, we had positive benefits.
Yeah, well, the reason that it's particularly impressive that you had such good benefits is that, as I said, these children are very depleted and very weak. So I have to think that, you know, I'm thinking to myself, where do their bodies get the raw materials to make the changes they need to make? I mean, if the cell signaling factors are asking the cells to do something, they still have to have the material in their body to make these substances. Am I misunderstanding this?
Well, this is an excellent question that we want to continue to ask. We were, after the adult studies, these were largely men and women living in the United States that were not afraid that any of us are starving in terms of the food. And so I didn't know what just such a almost nothing kind of survival nutrition, if that would make a difference. And what we learned from this study in South Africa is that our energy, our vital will to live, is more important than perhaps the nutrition that we give ourselves, that cell signaling in the body, coordinating our life force, is the most essential part of our life and quality of life.
So what, part of what you're saying is that you're working on a, again, more subtle level than the obvious physiologic sort of cascades that normally we think about, that part of what's working here is, and this is true in homeopathy and I guess also in acupuncture, is that you're dealing with a form of energy medicine.
That's correct, Lena. And when you opened and you said the energy medicine, I thought about back in about 1994, there was an expert, Beverly Rubik, who published that energy medicine is more fundamental to the cell than DNA. And that concept is very revolutionary for most of us as Americans, and yet it's true. With this subtle energy medicine of homeopathic growth factors, we were able to, at least on the short term, stun the HIV and support life of these children back to normal, such that people in South Africa who don't even know what homeopathy or growth factors are formed support groups because they went, oh my goodness, my child is alive. Mm-hmm. It's not only that my child's alive, she or he is out playing. I have to know what's going on here because I'm really excited. The growth of the children, some of them grew as much as 2 to 3 inches in 12 weeks' time. Mm. It's stunning. Now, how does a child that's barely having food do that? Because the body knows what it needs to do.
So, what kind of follow-up are you doing on these kids?
We are providing them with continued support with these medicines, and we'll have students from the University of Johannesburg continue to follow them for quite some time.
So the thought is that they may actually never advance into AIDS.
Well, that would be the hope.
Yeah,
that was another question that we had asked. At all stages of the disease, could this approach work? And we found that in this small study of 25 children, indeed, that all of them improved significantly.
Well, it does bring up an interesting idea here, which is whether or not if you treat somebody with this form of subtle medicine and their situation doesn't improve, and they continue to be exposed to poverty and starvation and maybe even toxicity from the environment, will this continue to work? And I guess part of what we're saying here is that one level of the ability or the capacity of the body to thrive has to do with this energetic level, and that this is why we see extraordinary stories of one person surviving terrible abuse and trauma and toxic exposures and being okay, living a long time and being okay, and other people kind of crashing and burning. So this is a very interesting other side, and certainly these children were not indoctrinated with ideas from the West about spirituality and New Age medicine. So this was something that really happened in a sincere way.
These children are so vulnerable, and yet mm-hmm. they are children. They have the will to live. They have the energy force. And while they're dying in just horrible conditions on a daily basis, more than 1,500 people are infected every day in South Africa, and even more are dying every day. You have over 2.2 million people dying in South Africa in a year.
Stunning.
They have no access until they're full-blown AIDS to any kind of medicine. So they're basically an untreated population.
Mm-hmm.
And here is a way that can support their health.
Right.
For a very long time.
We need to take a brief break, about a 30-35 second break. I'm Lena Berman. I'm on the phone with Barbara Brewitt, B-R-E-W-I-T-T. Dr. Barbara Brewitt is from Biomed.com, the website biomedcom.com. And this is Your Own Health and Fitness. We're going to take a very brief break, and I hope you will stay with us.
Imagine Christmas.
Welcome back. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman, and I'm on the phone with biochemist Dr. Barbara Brewitt, B-R-E-W-I-T-T. Her company is Biomedcom, and their website, biomedcom.com. And when I say Biomedcom, the first com is C-O-M-M, so it's B-I-O-M-E-D-C-O-M-M.com. And there are papers on the website. There's lots of educational material on the website for people to read, and there's also lots of information about different products, because this is not the only area that they're working with. There's a bunch of places I want to go with this. One thing I'm wondering about is, you did your postdoc research at NIH, so it's not like you're so unconventional that you're not. I mean, you've been recognized in the conventional medical model for your work. You've been peer reviewed and stuff, have you not?
Yes, very much.
So very much. So one of the things that most reviewers want to see with studies is a large study. They like to see that you've done trials with large groups of large populations. And I'm wondering if there's, what kind of reception? I mean, I know you're getting positive reception from people who are slightly unconventional or slightly forward-thinking, but what about what kind of reception are you getting with people who are used to seeing these huge clinical trials?
Well, our next large study is, again, in South Africa. It'll be 200 people.
Yeah.
It'll be almost twice what we've done before, and it'll be for 8 months. It will be a double-blind placebo study, so there will be people who are taking something that they think is the real substance, but it's not, and I'm not happy about having to do that, but it's just part of this peer review process. So I think an independent group testing the substances, really without my presence or anything to do, is the next logical step. We've proved this 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, I'm a mathematician. When you're a mathematician and something is true once, you go, interesting. True twice, you go, good observation. How to track that? True 3 times, it's a theorem.
Mm-hmm.
It is passed down.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it 4 times and 5 times. The length of this study is actually not as important as if you can find statistical significance. And we've been able to show that each time. This particular time is highly statistically significant. So again, we're rigorously looking at that with an independent statistical group at the University of Washington. And we've tested it in 8 different cities throughout the United States. And now we've tested in South Africa. It looks like we're onto something.
I'll say. There's something else very important to mention here, too, just for people who might be listening to this and thinking about maybe looking into purchasing some of your products and whatnot, is that you have kept these products available as OTC or over-the-counter. You've resisted, now I don't know whether you've been approached, but you've resisted patenting these and making them virtually inaccessible financially to people.
We have a patent on them,
uh-huh.
But we have chosen to make it accessible to people because that's the vision. I truly believe that people need and demand healthy products for their body, for their families, and for their quality of life.
Well, and some freedom of choice, too.
Right, and we can keep the price low. So
I should mention that when you say it's low, it is low as compared to other treatments in the same class. But if people are used to buying tubes of homeopathic medicine over the counter in their health food store, they will find these more pricey than that. But they should keep in mind that the price of using growth factors as medicines is between $150 and $200 on the low end a month. So
depending upon you know, we have many products that are less than a dollar a day.
Yeah, no, I'm saying yours are less than that.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in terms of growth hormone, it is probably $10,000 a month, even $1,000 a month.
Depends. I mean, people who are using it for anti-aging medicine are paying somewhere around $150, $200 a month from what I'm observing.
What we've tried to do is create a new innovation where we can slash the price to be reasonable and yet have the effectiveness that's never been seen in over-the-counter natural medicines.
Mm-hmm.
So we do clinical studies, we publish, we have the highest of quality of product to assure the consumer that they are getting something. That is different than so many homeopathic medicines. So the price is higher than that, but it's certainly less than pharmaceutical drugs for many diseases.
Might be also worth mentioning that people should sort of beware of copycats, because I'm noticing that there are some copycat products popping up. I'm seeing gels that are supposed to be homeopathic, HGH, that are not your products. And you might want to address this by just explaining what it is that you're providing that people should be paying attention to if they're reading labels, or maybe they should be reading labels and find out what things contain.
I think that the challenge of natural medicine is that there are a lot of people who aren't interested in providing the consumer with a quality product. They're interested in marketing, and that's a different business model than the one that we have. So we truly clinically test things. That cell signal enhancer is a trademark of ours. Our gels, we have clinical studies actually proving their efficacy. So you want to look for Biomedcom or Cell Signal Enhancer or Genuve. Otherwise, it's not coming from us. And you ought to ask the company, what clinical studies do they have to substantiate or prove to you that it's an effective cost of your dollar?
Yeah, it might also be useful to look at what the actual ingredients are to see whether they're actually using.
That's definitely correct.
Right, recombinant human growth hormone. So let's talk about other applications. Certainly, one of the things that I think you're offering people is that along with the application of chronic illness, that this might actually be a way for people to control to some degree their aging process, healthy individuals?
Yes. As we have studied not only HIV, which in a very objective manner is just an accelerated aging process.
As is diabetes,
said, yeah. People are, as you age, your body just breaks down, and it breaks down in the immune system, breaks down in the nervous system, breaks down in metabolism. We've taken disease states such as autism and HIV and shown that we can support that and make people feel healthier and stronger and without inflammation, chronic pain, or infections. We've also taken healthy people who are subjected to, as you said, toxicities, or they're aging already and they have symptoms that they've reported. And we've not only conducted here in Seattle, but replicated our studies and peer review published our studies showing that our particular formula of homeopathic growth hormone works. We have several formulas that have been tested clinically. So we know that we can address healthy people and people who are chronically ill. There's something really interesting going on here.
Well, it certainly got my attention when I saw the results on this 30-year diabetic who is doing everything right and still occasionally has periods where his blood sugars are problematic. So obviously these remedies are working on fuel metabolism and muscle growth. That's easy to say. Muscle growth. Say that three times fast. Can you explain how it is that they're working on fuel metabolism?
Yes, some of these different growth factors, and that is what my PhD is on, so I'm kind of in love with these growth factors. They fascinate me. And some of them are directly related to metabolism, such as growth hormone, such as insulin. And then you have disease states such as diabetes, where that is a fuel metabolism problem. Or you have a disease like aging, which it becomes a fuel metabolism problem.
Yes, I think we've all noticed this.
And by the time that we prepare that homeopathically and check with what are the formulations that need to really address that, then we are giving the body the exact information that it needs to help its own metabolism be better. And that's why it's so specific and exciting in the results that people have.
I just have to say this because of the work I do with people as an educator, that nothing that you add to your regime by way of natural medicine, be it supplements or natural hormones or homeopathics, they will all work better, of course, if you also do what you need to do to take care of yourself. In other words, you don't just take a nice tablet of HGH under your tongue and then you go off and have cake and ice cream for lunch and not exercise. You still, you know, need to give the body the sorts of things it needs to be supported, but you get this extra edge, hopefully. So I have to think also that muscle growth is affected, and I have to think adrenal function must be part of the picture here.
There is definitely a feedback loop between the adrenal glands, the pituitary, and the liver. And so that not only affects the nervous system, but it affects metabolism. And it's not like so many of Americans, we think we have little isolated organs. Mm-mm. And they just located in our body. Guess what? They're talking to each other all the time.
Yeah.
So as soon as you're stressed out, your adrenal glands feel it and shout up to the pituitary, which then turns off the liver, and you got metabolism problems.
Well, you've also got problems with your thyroid at that point. All kinds of other things stop working when there's the term cascade, you know, like a waterfall is very visual for people, and it is true that one thing pushes on another, goes on to another. So you're also seeing applications for other chronic illnesses like autoimmune diseases?
Well, yes. We're very interested in autoimmune diseases. We're interested in diabetes, and it has an autoimmune component to it. That's well understood. And trying to help the immune system come into balance stops autoimmunity and helps the body go, I am a healthy, with a will to live sort of person. Now, I need to change my behavior so I'm not self-destructive or stressed out, etc. But what's nice about self-signaling is it does help the body coordinate and work more efficiently and effectively. And people feel it pretty fast.
Yeah. You're listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Health Integrationist, and I'm on the phone with Dr. Barbara Brewitt, B-R-E. WITT, her company Biomedcom, and their website Biomedcom with the first com is COMM and then it's .com, biomedcom.com. I'm wondering if I'm imagining people are listening to the show. I kind of know from people who come to see me what kinds of problems people are interested in, and one of the biggest thing that people are interested in is the whole issue of hormones, and menopausal women and andropausal men are interested in bioidentical hormone replacement using small amounts of hormones. So a lot of people have thyroid disease and are replacing hormones. My impression is that there may be, if not contraindications for use with other hormones, that at least there are some, that it might be worth giving people some instructions or some cautions on how to proceed. Because my observation, for instance, with the diabetic that I'm talking about is that he is using testosterone and he is using he is using thyroid because both of those hormones became low from the years of being a diabetic, and that using the HGH growth factor homeopathically hasn't caused any problems for him whatsoever. Everything is just working beautifully. Tested his levels. Everything's great. So, but I'm not sure that everybody will have the same. I mean, I'm just wondering whether you have cautions for people, because you have instructions on how to use the products. Do you have a cautionary thing? Somebody with an autoimmune problem, should they proceed slowly?
We do have some cautions on the product. We have designed all of the things that we sell over the counter as products that can be used by a lay person. We're not prescribing things for a disease because that's just not following the federal Drug Administration.
Yeah, you'd have to restrict their use if you
right.
did that.
Right, so we don't do that. We do say on the instructions very clearly, if some new symptom arises, go talk to your healthcare practitioner. We want people to take more responsibility for their health and also wisely consult with their doctor when they need to. And when they can support their family without that, we want them to start educating themselves.
Well, by way of getting them educated, it would be helpful to hear from you what sorts of, I don't want to ask you something you don't feel comfortable answering, but I'm wondering what, in your experience or in your intuition dealing with this, how you would instruct people to proceed with different types of... because, look, the show is a kind of attempt to give people some tools. So I'm not asking you to prescribe over the air at all. What I'm saying is, can you give people some kinds of principles to apply when using these products, if they're using, for instance, other hormones?
There's different kinds of products that we have. If they are using a lot of hormones, then they're already working with a healthcare practitioner. And so growth hormone, although we consider it a growth factor, at least they should be informing their physician that they are using a homeopathic. The doctor will go, oh, well, it's not important at all.
Yeah, they will.
So it's not much of a question.
Or they'll go the opposite way, which is that they'll say,
dangerous. Don't use it at all. Mm-hmm. They will. And that's where oftentimes so many people have more knowledge about their body than the doctor. And they end up teaching the doctor. There are some things doctors are aware of. If you're a diabetic, for instance, and you use insulin, insulin and growth hormone work opposed to each other. So you would have to be extremely knowledgeable diabetic to want to use growth hormone at the same time, for instance, as a homeopathic insulin.
What about the other way around? What if an insulin-dependent diabetic tries to use the homeopathic HGH under their tongue?
That's what I'm saying. A diabetic would want to be educated about a homeopathic growth hormone, because insulin, whether they're injecting insulin or using a homeopathic insulin, they need to understand insulin works at a certain time in the body. Growth hormone works at a different time in the body. You wouldn't take them at the same time.
Oh, okay. So the main thing would be to avoid taking them at the same time.
And understand the effects of each other.
Do you want to go ahead and explain that a little bit? Because I'm quite sure that there are people listening who might be in that boat.
Well, I would say that insulin works best from about 10 o'clock in the afternoon till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's a good time to use insulin and homeopathic insulin. Growth hormone works from 4 a.m. in the morning till about 7 a.m. in the morning, and then it kicks in again at about 5 p.m. at night and works, probably till about 2 p.m. So, 2 a.m., excuse me. Mm-hmm. So, those windows of time you would use opposite each other. I hope that's a little.
Well,
let me see.
You're saying that if you're an insulin dependent diabetic and you're using, what you're saying is that insulin's action is from about 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So if you were going to use homeopathic insulin, you would tend to use it after 3 p.m.?
No, you'd use it between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. And I'm not prescribing, so
No.
I'm starting to feel uncomfortable.
Okay, I won't push
it. But there are times that insulin works in the body, and, you know, scientists know that, and I can tell you that. There are times that growth hormone works in the body optimally.
So you use products concomitant with what their natural activity would be? Okay, so you just follow what the body does.
Early in the show I had said that, you know, the cells are waiting for information to instruct them on what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the times you want to use things that support your health.
Okay, so you follow nature.
Exactly.
Okay, so you follow the patterns of nature. Now, human growth hormone, do you want to sort of explain when somebody might use human growth hormone and when somebody might use IGF-1?
In our clinical studies, we found that human growth hormone, as I said, it works wonderfully from 4 o'clock in the morning till maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. So a person wakes up and they use it, or if they wake up in the night, you know, at 4 a.m. or really early in the morning, they can use it. Then at about 5 p.m. or maybe 3 p.m. on, they can begin using that, and it seems to provide them with a lot of optimal support. IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor, works together as a teammate with growth hormone. It can be used any time during the day. But if you want to really synergistically support growth hormone, you use it at that same time. I had a bodybuilder who was using either growth hormone and IGF-1 at the same time, or would use IGF-1 during that 10 to 3 period when he wasn't using growth hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Every 3 to 4 hours he was taking either growth hormone and IGF-1 homeopathically, or he was taking homeopathic IGF-1. He came in fourth in the state.
Aww.
He sent me a before and after. He was a pretty heavy, overweight guy. And when he came in fourth in the state of Washington for bodybuilding, I was just going, he's on to something.
Yeah, I wonder also whether... I mean, that, of course, piques my interest because I've been bodybuilding since I was 30 and rather seriously, and there's an inevitable change in the body as you get older. There's just, it's interesting, there was an article in the paper about Jack LaLanne, and there were pictures of him at 90, and my God, he's still exercising, and he's still healthy and vigorous and happy, but gosh, his body sure looks different. You know, you lose tone, muscles decreases. It's harder and harder to recover from exercise as you age. So one of the things that occurs to me is that someone who is doing bodybuilding exercise and getting older would probably benefit by keeping... I mean, one of the things I noticed is that when I checked the IGF-1 levels of this diabetic, they had gone up significantly from before he started using your products. So it does increase the metabolite of human growth hormone, the IGF-1, and it does not seem to be giving him sugar metabolism problem. And you think, you know, insulin-like growth factor, you know. But I also wonder if we might just caution people to pay attention to how they feel when they're using things, and they're using them to some extent with their own. I mean, in other words, things that are available over the counter, you have to use your own. You have to use your head, and you have to sense what's happening in your body. And I guess I would say to people, if they have a stronger than expected reaction, that maybe they should use it less often or something.
That's the advantage of a homeopathic over-the-counter medicine, is you can take it or not take it, tune into your body, take responsibility for how your body is feeling, and then you can have your own love affair with these self-signal enhancers. I believe that we have instructions on the label that say take it 3 times a day, and people can back down if they go, wow, I'm feeling so great, you know, maybe I don't need it every day. So let's say they back down to taking it only once a day, and they go, well, that's not quite right. It's like tuning your engine up,
mm-hmm.
tuning into yourself and going, I understand how I work. I live in my body. That's the only one I get. I'm taking something relatively powerful that can help me optimize my performance. That means I have a little responsibility there.
A big responsibility. I think that the whole purpose of having you on the air and me doing the show is to give people as much scientific information as I can in an accessible form so that they can make intelligent decisions and take responsibility. Because if people want to have the freedom of self-treatment and self-healing, then they have to also have the responsibility, which means you have to pay, you have to have a heads up. One of the things that I talked to you about when I experimented with your products was, with the IGF-1, was I had an experience of having my cortisol levels get a bit low, and I know that the IGF-1 is really good for people whose cortisol levels are really high. So again, it was one of these things of having to sort of take it, really pay attention and notice and maybe back down, and I, I'm looking forward to trying your HGH at some point.
Good.
It's clear that this is a real passion for you, that this is more than just a job. And I'm wondering what the next thing is for you. It sounds like, first of all, the next thing is more studies in South Africa, but are you going to be concentrating on the HIV mostly at this point?
We're actually in a growth spurt in the company. We are trying to, you know, give birth to a public health option for HIV treatment. That's throughout the world. I don't think it's unique to South Africa. If it can work in South Africa, where does it not work?
Exactly.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'll say.
Plus, I am very excited about interests that people have approached me on with autism. We continue to look at that horrific problem.
Mm-hmm.
And healthy aging. All of the baby boomers, all of us face, I'm one of the baby boomers, face the challenge of, we're a little bit different in our metabolism and our physiology than we were when we were in our 20s.
This is true.
So I am working with a great team of people, and we're starting to team up and address these critical problems.
Thank you so much.
I believe healthcare is, you know, a catastrophe in America today.
Yeah, it is.
We have to do something.
Yes, it does. That's what we have to do, is something.
Yeah.
I have to let you go. I'm so sorry to have to let you go. It's been a wonderful interview. Thank you so much, Dr. Barbara Brewitt, B-R-E-W-I-T-T, her company Biomedcom, C-O-M-M, their website biomedcom.com. Thank you again, Dr.
Thank
Brewitt.
Thank you, Lena.
You're welcome. And I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Lena Berman. If you need more information or you want to get a cassette copy of this or any other in the series, Your Own Health and Fitness, you can call my information number 24 hours a day at 707-874-2772, 707-874-2772. For a list of available shows or information about guests, go to the website, yourownhealthandfitness.com, yourownhealthandfitness.com. Also, information on subscribing to the new newsletter, Progressive Health Observer, a news commentary alternative to Big Box Medicine. The engineer for Your Own Health and Fitness is Sally Phillips. Your Own Health and Fitness is a co-production of Your Own Health and Fitness, 8.5x11 Productions, and listener-sponsored KPFA-FM. Remember, being informed not only protects your health, it protects your freedom. Bye-bye.